Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Green Legion Radio. I'm Rob Valivas filling in for Quimby, who is on another sabbatical circumnavigating the globe, but we'll hopefully get through this thing. Don't forget, we're live in South Philadelphia from Chickie and Pete's 275 Yuengling Lagers and Crab Fries. Of course, it's awesome. You gotta have, I love the crab fries. Chickie and Pete's is the proud partner of the Philadelphia Eagles and the official caterer of the Philadelphia Eagles Touchdown Club at the Link and the Philadelphia Eagles Training Camp. Every Monday night, see a different Eagles player right here at Chickie and Pete's. Get your collectible glasses. Do we know who the collectible glasses
we
today?
We just told you, man.
You told me?
I know who told
me. No one told
me. It's
Lane
Allmark, right?
Lane Johnson. Thank you, guys.
I sent you guys that picture 2 weeks ago.
Sorry. I don't always check up on that. Quimby never knows, so why break precedent? Good Lord. Chickie and Pete's has the best game watch parties you can find anywhere in the area. Get the real feel in-game experience right here at Chickie and Pete's. Wager, then watch all the action at Chickie and Pete's, all the, at the casino locations, parks, Ben Salem, the Tropicana on the boardwalk in Atlantic City. Our beautiful sponsors, Miller Lite, Bucks County Baseball Company, David Dodge Christ Jeepler, the Manyunk Sports and Social Club, and City Fitness, our boy Ken Davies, Northern Liberties, Graduate Hospital, South Philly, Fishtown, Logan Square, and Market East. Don't forget our friends at 4th and John, Sean Brayson, Philly Influencer, and of course, patronize all the Chickie and Pete's locations. Let's introduce the panel. Of course, it's a little bit different today. To my left, Chris Sackers here. What's up?
I'm feeling naked without headphones on right now. But
well, one of the headphone cords isn't working, yeah, so we got to go with what works.
You know, call me Quimby. I like long walks on a beach.
I got you.
And those are too great.
And next to him, Eagles insider, the one, the only, Dave Spadaro.
Hello,
what's up,
hello.
Dave?
Ready
how are you?
Dallas.
All right, we're ready for Dallas.
Dallas week.
Yes.
Dallas,
it's good to see you.
How's it? Yes, they do. Yes, they do. I like the T-shirt.
Oh,
they called each other last.
Yeah, we're gonna get to that. And next to Dave Spadaro, Philadelphia Eagles, great, the one, the only, Hollis Thomas.
Good evening. Hey.
What's up, Hollis?
How's everybody doing this evening?
And next to him, he's the head of the Green Legion social media. We call him Shut Up Diaz, one of my proteges, Mike Diaz.
Ooh. Protege, huh?
Well, you did get started doing radio with me.
That is true. I'm glad I skipped 1 week. I come back to professionalism here is on point.
We're trying.
Together.
We're trying to do
Board
it.
Speakers. It's great.
Yeah, right. Fantastic. And now, like we always do, in the words of my mentor, the great Big Daddy Graham, Hollis Thomas, what happened on this day?
Well, today is December the 17th here on Green Legion Radio. It's the 351st day of the year. It's only 14 days left, man. We're going to start back in 1903. Today is National the Wright Brothers Day.
National Aviation Day?
It's wow. Pan Am Aviation Day.
Okay.
But it's also the Wright Brothers Day.
Because okay. They go hand in hand.
Yeah, but, well, they're separate.
Kitty Hawk?
Yeah, pretty much. So, Orville Wright piloted the first flight in 1903. Then you go back to 1933. I kind of put this in here from a guy, Dave Spadaro, and Shut Up Diaz. The Bronco Nagurski rule. You know what that is, Dave?
No.
It's the first time that the forward pass was allowed in the NFL.
What year was that?
In 1933.
Oh. Well, they still let it in the league.
Well, it was in the title. It was in the first NFL title game. The Bears beat the Giants.
How many yards did he throw for?
I don't know. They didn't really start counting until later on. Kind of like they never really counted sacks. You ever notice that a lot, if you look, you go back and look, they never really counted sacks?
Yeah. Isn't it amazing how far it's come now? It's better to pass than it is to run.
How
about that, Hollis?
Yeah, but I kind of balanced.
How about that one?
Not really, because we only win when we balance it out, though.
Yeah.
And on to the next thing.
Oh, it's early. You guys are going to start arguing already? We're only 3 minutes in.
Yes, we are.
Well, it wouldn't be a Green Legion show unless there was some sort of controversy.
I mean,
right?
If you haven't recognized now that the way you score in the NFL is by big chunk plays in the pass game, then you're blind.
Or by big chunk plays in the run game. Was there not a chunk run play that got us into the red zone?
How about the Redskins score against the Eagles?
We'll get to that. Didn't Adrian Peterson reverse field?
Oh, 11-yard run.
Hey, okay.
We're starting already. Yeah, why don't we go around the league? Why don't we start, you got more. Sorry, Hollis. Hollis got sidetracked. I'm sorry.
Yeah, sidetracked. In 1965, the Astrodome, it opened, but it didn't open with a game. It opened with a concert. Nobody will ever guess who the headliners were.
The Beatles.
Kiss. No. It was Judy Garland and the Supremes.
Ah. Judy Garland.
And the Supremes. I know.
I thought it was the Bad News Bears. Wasn't that two where they played in the Houston Astrodome?
Possibly.
Way over the rainbow.
Terrible.
We should Dave singing now.
Oh, dear God.
Somebody cut that.
All right, everybody calm down.
Okay. We go to 1989 with The Simpsons. It first premiered on Fox. in 1989.
Great show.
Great show.
Still on TV.
I can't believe it's still going.
Now the worst beating in basketball history. It happened in 1991, the Cavaliers versus the Heat.
The expansion Heat?
148-80.
Wow. That's not much of a game.
That's what the score is tomorrow with Sixers Heat.
Hopefully they play better than they played against the Nets, Diaz.
I got a couple of birthdays here. You have Pope Francis' birthday today, 1936.
I think he's 88. Or 83, 83.
Yeah, something like that. 1945, actor Ernie Hudson.
Oh, Ghostbusters.
Yes. 1953, actor Bill Pullman. 1956, Peter Farley, one of the Farley brothers.
Oh, yeah, Farley brothers. Yeah.
Farley brothers. In 1964, Michelle Tafoya.
Ah.
Yeah, she's pretty up there, too.
She's really good at what she does.
Is she really good? I got 1976, Tequila Spikes.
Ah,
former Eagle.
Tequio Spikes.
Tequio Spikes.
The neck.
The neck,
I think
that's
I
right.
met him.
Or lack, the lack thereof.
Yes.
1978 is two birthdays. Manny Pacquiao and Chase Utley.
Ah, Chase.
Yeah,
Chase is 41. They call him the Silver Fox.
Ah.
They also call him the man.
And today's national holiday is National Maple Syrup Day. And we've already said the Aviation Day.
National what day?
Maple syrup.
Did you have pancakes today, Hollis?
You know it. with maple syrup. It was delicious.
Around 1:30 while I was watching Maury.
Yes, good thing.
Did you go to a tree and actually tap the tree for maple syrup?
No, I did it the old-fashioned way. I went to the grocery store. I picked up a bottle.
I figured you had someone shop for you.
No, I go myself.
Okay, because you're a man.
Yeah, because I'm a man and I win.
Exactly.
That's all I got for you today in history, though.
Thank you, Hollis. We really appreciate that. Around the league, I guess we'll go to the Cowboys first. Cowboys blow out the Rams. I kind of thought the Cowboys would win. I just didn't think it would be that lopsided. Dave, your thoughts
on
that?
Yeah, I mean, I missed a lot of the first half. We were coming back from Washington. I tuned in right around the time when they took the lead, 21-7, and then Sean Lee had the interception, right. And then they put it. Cowboys did a great job. They controlled the line of scrimmage. The Rams were off kilter. I mean, the Cowboys woke up and they played the kind of game they needed to play. So that sets the stage for a great game on Sunday at Lincoln Financial Field. Other news around the league, I mean, I think everybody agrees Lamar Jackson's the MVP, right?
Yeah, so far.
Without a doubt.
So far.
And I just think the Niners, did anybody see the Niners lose?
I saw
that's in my notes. That's in the run sheet.
I could see that coming, though, because they had back-to-back road games in Baltimore and New Orleans.
But how did they lose in the last minute?
Well,
so Atlanta scored.
Yes.
Kicked an onside kick.
Yep.
And then they recovered the onside kick.
Yep.
And one play in the end zone?
It was two plays. Actually, it was a crossing route to Julio Jones. Then it was another play where the tight end caught the ball. I felt like he caught the ball in the end zone. He never touched the ground. But then they come back, and then they hit Julio Jones over the middle and right there.
Yeah. I really think the Eagles, if this team can win the division, mm-hmm. you get either Seattle without, by the way, who wants Josh Gordon now?
Yeah, seriously. Hey, you guys are talking next.
Stop it.
Thank you, sir.
And I think both of those teams can be had, Niners and Seattle.
Yeah. I think at any point, either one of those teams can be had.
All we gotta do is win.
The end of that Niners game was weird. Didn't they have like a 4th-and-1?
I don't know. I didn't see it.
They had a 4th-and-1, and they decided to kick the field goal.
Oh, yeah.
Instead of going for it, to put them away. You know,
They took that five-point lead.
Right.
Yeah.
And then it felt like forever, because I was following it on GameCast.
Right.
And it felt like on that 4th-and-1 play to Julio, that 5 yards, it felt like it took forever for them to review that.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, is he in or is he not?
Yeah.
that's a whole nother topic.
Whole other topic, these reviews. Yeah, they don't know what, they don't want to be wrong. I hate that.
Yet they're consistently wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
I did want to get.
We might get to it. But one of the things that I did want to ask everybody was, why should a coach have to challenge something that you got wrong? Why should a coach have to challenge?
Because they're human beings and they get things wrong.
And they don't
have the benefit of watching 3 replays before they make
the
call.
You don't have to. You have to have somebody up there watching. It's like, why can't we get this thing? Why can't we get it right?
Well, I think everybody agrees.
They blatantly miss calls, sir.
I'm talking about blatant. I think there's a clear need for a review of how they're doing these challenges, right. But I don't have the answer without slowing the game down a lot.
Do you think it's possible to? I know that this is like, no one agrees with me on this one, but I think they try to legislate everything down to these tiny little phrases and words when there's no wiggle room for the refs.
Right.
In other sports like baseball, basketball, hockey, I mean, you know, we want them to get it right,
right.
Most importantly, but you know, a foul or a penalty, you know, in hockey. Is it not? But with football, it is, it's not. And it makes everything reviewable down to these, you know, minute millisecond, you know, oh, the ball is juggling in his arm or not, you know. It's too strict, I feel.
The one thing that I'm not talking about the minute ones. I'm talking about case in point, watching the Buffalo Bills play. Don't ask me why, but play Pittsburgh. They called a face mask. The man's hand was nowhere near the damn face mask.
Right.
That is egregious. That's 15 yards, and you're giving the other team another set of downs.
Can I give you the theory that I've...
There is no theory.
On why the officiating has been so bad.
Okay.
So I was talking to a retired official, guy who retired after last year, and there were, in the last 2 years, 10 to 15 officials who retired each year. Right. So now they're bringing in these new officials, and they're just not confident making the calls. And so that's, they're cycling through a new era of inexperienced officiating, and that is costing
guys jobs. Costing guys games. Yeah, they need to get that crap needs to be getting together. If you want to find us for not doing our job, you need to find them and get somebody in there who's going to do it right. I'm getting sick of this crap week in, week out. I see calls that are not made that are blatant. I'm not talking about the ticky tack fouls. Like the little ticky tack, you might miss that. I'm talking about blatant. Like you see somebody getting drugged down from behind and no holding call.
How is
that guy standing
up?
There?
He is.
Because I watched this entire weekend and I'm sitting here. I'm like, you remember when the choking incident with Odell Beckham Jr.? And if I could have sent you a picture of where the referee was standing, looking directly at it, not making a call.
Now, two quick things, but Krzak, you wanted to say something?
I agree with Hollis. I think the NFL head coach has enough to pay attention to and coordinate throughout the course of a game. And the last thing that they should be doing is worrying about when they should use a challenge or not.
Yeah, but they have somebody upstairs in the booth making that call for them.
I don't feel bad for the Patriots at all. It cost them that Chiefs game.
Yep.
Because Bill Belichick already used his two challenges, and he couldn't challenge the fact that his guy was still in play.
And they had someone filming from the press box. They could tell.
I want to get to that. So two quick things before we take our first break, and Dave can probably add his 2 cents for both of you. So the first thing is, why don't they make the referees full time? These referees are not full time, right? Why can't they be younger guys in their 30s that are full time refs and they're always in shape and they're all they're doing? Wouldn't that help a little bit? Or am I wrong?
I mean, I don't know. No, I mean, I don't know.
Because umpires are full-time.
Umpires have 160 games that they're working. 16. Okay. What are they doing for the next months?
I understand what Dave does.
Plus, they're all executives making big money, doing insurance. So I don't – unless you wipe them clean and start fresh, then I think it's very difficult to do.
Do you think age makes a difference? Like younger guys?
Experience makes a difference.
Okay, I got you.
Yeah, I was going to say, how about you get these guys officiating some games outside of our games or looking at film or something to get them up beat? Because I know as a player, it takes you time to get back on kilter where you've been off the entire season. So I don't know what they're doing to get to prime their skill, but it's not working.
Chris, real quick.
Plus, if we're talking about like the difference between NFL and, you know, being a referee and an umpire. An umpire, what's the hardest thing to do? Call balls and strikes? They only have to do it once every 4 days.
It's still one of the hardest things to do in the world.
It's difficult to do, but it's not as mentally tasking as it would be to be
I happen to know a major league umpire, Al Porter, who umped in the World Series this year. And if you sat down and talked to him, they get graded. I'm sure the NFL referees get graded. They get graded after every single game. They have to be, I think it's like 98 or 99% right every time.
Yeah, I guess that grayscale is a miscue.
All right, sorry.
We'd have nobody if that were the case.
And before our last break, I know we touched on it last week, but it was more in the news this week about the Patriots and the footage came out. Dave, you think, will anything happen? Should anything happen?
I mean, I think something should happen. I don't know if it will happen. I think it's... You're blatantly filming the Cincinnati Bengals sideline.
Did you see the video?
Yeah.
It's not the video. It's the video of them taking the video where the guy's like, how about this? We'll just delete it. And it's gone.
Of course.
No, it's too late. You've been busted.
Of course.
And then, you know,
the Bengals guys are laughing.
Will something happen? I hope that it seems like the NFL's taking its time. I think the NFL's doing a good job making sure that they research it thoroughly. I can't imagine that they don't get punished some way.
Yeah, well, you
loss
know,
of draft picks.
Well, somebody.
I don't care about a fine.
I don't care about a fine either. But if you're going to punish somebody, you need to punish the coach and the executive like you did in New Orleans.
Well, let me ask you
this.
You're
trying to be a hard ass.
Well, okay. If you want to give out punishment, should the Seattle Seahawks forfeit every game that Josh Gordon played?
He only played in two.
No, he played against us.
Did he? Did he catch ball?
Yeah.
Huh. He didn't play against us, did he?
He played the week before and the week in our game. I don't know if he played after. I'm sure he did.
Then to combat that, should they go back and forfeit our Super Bowl?
Get that ring, baby. Any way to get that ring.
It was 2004, guys. They're not going to forget that.
Man, that was crap when they
did
that.
Real quick, I also forget, Dave, I'm sorry. Mike, we do have the raffle tickets going around, correct?
Ah, we have
them going around. And what are we giving away tonight here?
We are giving away in the Green Legion suite tomorrow night. Sixers versus Heat, 7 p.m. We have 4 tickets we're giving away tonight at the end of the show with parking.
Thank you very much.
So look for Pops, get a raffle ticket, and we'll make the call at the end of the show.
Pops is a big guy in the white shirt.
The handsome-looking gentleman, looks a little bit better than Hollis.
And we have the better-looking Tom.
Yes, Dave.
And we have a great guest tonight, right?
Well, we completely forgot about that. Yeah. The one and only Greg Ward will be live
the
here
hero
in
of the
South
city.
Philadelphia.
Yes. Worked his way onto the field.
And he will be here momentarily. I got a lot of questions for Greg. I can't wait to have him.
I've been a fan of him
since preseason. And so is my father, which I'm going to tell him when he gets here. But I'm looking forward to having Greg Ward here. Dave Spadaro is hanging out with us. We're going to take our first break, and we'll be back. Oh, yes? Yeah, did you want to say something? Oh, you gave me like a one, like you wanted to say something.
No, it's all good, man.
We'll be back with more Green Legion Radio live from Chicken and Pete's in South Philly. We are back for Green Legion Radio here in South Philadelphia at Chicken Pete's. And I forgot to mention the beautiful, gorgeous Connie Pfeiffer is here signing the Philly's Finest calendar. So find her. She's up here in the booth. She's the one that looks better than all of us, so it's not hard to find her.
Hey, easy there. I mean, you know, she's gorgeous, but, you know, come on.
Really, Diaz?
Yes, come on.
That's where we're going with that?
Yeah.
Did he really say that?
Yes, he went there.
Did we bring up at the beginning of the show we should take a picture that Hollis and Diaz over there are wearing sunglasses?
I'm not wearing sunglasses.
I'm sorry, they're wearing shirts that match. Hollis was throwing me off wearing sunglasses.
It's Dallas Sucks Week. You wear a Dallas Sucks shirt for your show.
He's throwing me off with the sunglasses.
I know. That's why I put them on.
Not to look at me, or just because there's too much light?
I'm just being cool.
Okay.
Just acting inconspicuous.
Okay. So I want to go to Dave Spadaro with the injury report, Dave. Oh, sorry. Chris, go ahead. We're going to play something in just a second. I forgot. Go ahead.
No, sorry. During our break right there, we were playing a song from a local band, Huxley. They're a new rock band out of South Jersey looking to break out. They just released a 5-song EP last Friday, and it is unbelievable. Sound a little bit like Papa Roach. They say something like Breaking Benjamin. You can find the album on any streaming platform, Spotify, Google Play, Apple Music, etc. Also, you can check them out January 25th at Anchor Rock Club in Atlantic City. Purchase your tickets now at www.thisishuxley.bigcartel.com and follow them on Facebook at This Is Huxley.
And also, don't forget iTunes. Make sure you download, review, get us on TuneIn Radio. The reviews are very important. But Dave Spadaro, we really want to know the injuries for the Philadelphia Eagles. So go ahead.
Well, I'd love to tell you things are great. Dave, but I'm not sure that that's going to happen.
I heard they were trending in the right direction.
Always say that early in the week.
That means they're getting better. It's just the scale that we're really interested in.
I can't say for sure that any of the guys who have been out will be back.
Doug said they were trending up yesterday.
Yeah,
take it with a grain of salt.
It was Monday. I would say Lane Johnson has a shot to play maybe. I think Jordan Howard maybe, but he still hasn't been cleared as of yesterday. Who else? Derek Barnett?
Nelson Aguilar.
I've heard no progress on either of those players.
What did the coach mean by they're at a stalemate? I didn't understand.
No,
that.
He didn't say that.
Nelson said that. That's what he said.
It means that his knee hasn't gotten any better.
Okay. Yes, Mike.
Dave, can you try to explain to us, because we don't get it and we don't read the entire report, but with Jordan Howard, it was a stinger, and and everyone's different, everyone's body just different.
Nerve damage.
Okay.
That's what a stinger is.
Right, but
so if the nerve doesn't come back,
2 weeks?
If the nerve doesn't come back, so remember J.R. Reed jumped over the fence
and
his nerve never came back in his knee. I mean, he was able to play again, but never at that level.
Right.
Jalen Smith got drafted by the Cowboys. That nerve came back like 2 years later.
Right.
And Jordan, if your nerve doesn't come back, you can't lift.
Can't hold
you
the ball.
You have no strength.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't take hits. You can't get cleared for contact, and that's where he's been.
Right.
Now, I want to get in that we can break down the game because the Eagles won, which is awesome. And of course, the hero of the game. Well, there's a lot of heroes of the game, but Greg Ward will be right here with us, hanging out with us in a little bit. He's a busy man, but he will be here. I can't wait to talk to him. But the Eagles win. I guess, what were the keys to victory, do you think, Dave? What were the two most important things or three most important
Carson
things?
Wentz.
Of yep. course.
Was
my man.
Terrific. Really great fourth quarter. Miles Sanders was awesome.
Awesome.
Yes. And, I mean, they just, Greg Ward stepped up and beat
Josh. Thank
you. Think about it. Greg Ward stepped up and beat Josh Norman.
Yeah.
To score the winning
Sweet.
Point.
That's one of the questions.
And Josh
I have
Norman has made what, $100 million yeah. in his career?
Yep.
Yep.
And so, football's a crazy game. Once you get a little bit older, you are toast, man. You lose just a little bit, you're toast.
You know what it is?
I don't think the defense did a whole lot for that game.
They saved that crucial spot in the game where Carson did fumble, and they did hold him to a field goal. I mean, that was the biggest stop they came about.
And then they had the blitz at the end. Devontae right. Maddox got home. That was nice to see.
Now to what you were just saying about getting older, doesn't matter if you get older and you may think you lose a step. The difference is hungry. Greg Ward is hungry. And that's what I saw coming out of training camp, and I felt like we give people jobs too much, and everybody's talking about, well, who else are you gonna put in there? You put the guys in there who are hungry, who are catching the ball. You don't put them on practice squad for Hollins.
I would say
don't
Corvus,
do that.
By the way, I will tell you that I bet you Matt Collins stays in the league for.
I don't care.
Playing special. I bet you he becomes a good player.
No, he's gonna be a special teamer just like he said he wants to be.
I bet you he becomes a good player.
I don't think so.
The problem is Hollis,
he's hurt too much.
No, but Mac can run and play outside. Greg Ward, I just don't know if he'll ever be an outside receiver. He's going to be a slot receiver.
So you put him
and
in because
Mac Collins
he's doing
plays
what?
Special teams.
Because he's doing what? What do you need receivers to do?
Well, we like catch the ball.
Mac Collins had, how many targets was Mac Collins? How many times
did he
get
the ball? He had a chance.
Yeah, he had a couple.
He had a couple, and he was dropping passes. He had a chance.
They've all dropped passes.
And he was hurt a lot. I think you can't make the club in a tub. Competition. Good, healthy competition.
Well,
until you earn your spot and earn your keep and you own your stuff, you're not going to be a good player.
I'm just defending Matt Collins, not criticizing Greg Ward.
I am criticizing because I didn't think he made the team. I don't give a damn. I don't think he made the team. The way you make the team is you make plays. You make plays and you earn your keep. You don't stay on a team dropping passes. You don't stay on a team in the tub. You play. You make the team by being in good competition.
Hollis sees a lot in these guys that give it, you know, undrafted guys.
Yeah, but no.
TJ Edwards, he's a big fan of.
Play
big
hard, fan. Make plays. And he's right. I agree with you. I mean, receiver, we want them to catch the ball. Greg Ward has been catching the ball. It was a nice play he had on Josh Norman.
I want to see a nice gadget play this weekend. I want to see the kitchen sink with Greg Ward.
That's in my notes. Don't take my notes. That's in my notes.
You're stepping on everyone's
You're stepping
notes.
On my toes here.
Good Lord. Hey, he's a good quarterback.
You didn't share your notes.
No, well, no. I'm not going to get into it.
Yeah,
you're supposed to make your own notes.
Yeah.
But anyway.
All I'm saying is when you have good, healthy competition on a team, it makes your team better. When you just give guys jobs and guys,
who is giving a job? Greg Ward, by the way. Greg Ward is on the way.
Yes.
On the way. 6 minutes away.
He's what?
He's on the way.
He's getting the keys from the mayor to the city right now.
He just what, Scott? He just got a chance. He should have been had a chance.
He's on his way here.
He's on his way here.
He's on his way here.
The show.
Okay. Like, that's what he meant.
Quimmy should have left his keys at the Maserati for him.
Yeah.
Hollis, I do have
to bring that.
And that's interesting. When a guy gets his chance, what he does with that chance is how your NFL career is defined.
We've listened to that Eminem song. It's truth.
Well, no.
I'm not cool enough to know what that Eminem song is.
Hollis, I do have a defensive question for you. Okay. Tell me if I'm wrong, and Dave can chime in. They made the quarterback for the Redskins, who's a rookie.
We didn't blitz him
at all. Why? Am I wrong? Did we not blitz him to the last play?
He
blitzed a couple times.
They got home on the one play. Nate Gary got in there, but that was the holding on Russell Douglas.
Shouldn't they have blitzed more, Hollis?
Yeah, because he's a rookie. He was standing back there like he was playing pass, Kelly.
Okay.
I was getting pissed in the stands. Dude, when you look at the game, when you have a guy, and then you saw what happened when we sent pressure. You make him make a quick throw and get the ball out of his hands. It was too many times he was standing back there, padding the ball and throwing it. You're not going to get back there because all they did was they dared you to blitz by sending a little bit of max protection here and there. You have to send more people. Four guys are not going to get there.
I think everyone was
covering. But four guys should get there when Brandon Scherff is on the sidelines.
Yep.
Four guys should get there if they're not max protected.
To me, the pass rush is the largest concern of the Philadelphia Eagles beyond anything else. And I know all fans want to get his drafted wide receiver first round. No, you got to get this defensive line needs to get built back up because the defense is only as good as the D-line.
Well, you will see when we play teams that just protect with five, you'll see that. But until you do something to when teams got two or three extra protectors that are knocking the guys off, you're not gonna see anything. You have to do something different. As a defense coordinator, you have to make your guys different.
So what do you do?
You run zone blitzes, you trick the offensive line sometimes. Sometimes you send more than they can block. You don't let a guy stand back there and pick you apart. It's point blank. Pressure bust pipes. And it'll always be that way. And if you do not practice that, you're gonna look like crap when you do it. Kind of like we do, because I can tell we don't practice blitzes, and everybody knows what's coming. Well, everybody knows the blitz is coming when the guy walks up into the line, or they may stand at depth, and then they lean forward, and then they come two ticks too late instead of hitting it on the run. It's kind of disheartening as a former defensive player that loves the, you have to send pressure. You cannot let a quarterbacks are too good nowadays to let you stand back there. Let him stand back there and pick you apart.
Yeah, Hollis is on point tonight with the "you can't make the club in the tub."
Nope,
and then,
he's got all the one-liners tonight.
Exactly, well, not because it's been all through my mind ever since that they finally let Greg play.
It's the hat and the sunglasses.
I do have a question. The Green Legion trip. Diaz, did you go to the Green Legion trip?
I did not.
Hollis was
yes,
there. How was it? What was the?
It was
how
awesome.
Was, okay,
yeah,
your broadcast.
I saw
your
from the bus. I saw that.
It was somebody named White Claw Wendy. I thought it was a girl, but it was a guy. He was drinking up all the White Claws like nobody's business. Totally, I'm not going to say what happened.
Okay.
It's not for public consumption, but...
It's family friendly.
It's family friendly, but we were calling him White Claw Wendy.
Okay.
And he took the name on and took it by the horns, the bull by the horns.
I think my buddy told me the kids are now calling a claw clock, like that's the new thing when they go to happy hour and they drink White Claws. I mean,
White Claw's on tap now.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, some bars have White Claw on tap.
It's delicious. I like a Trulicity.
It's delicious.
If I drink that.
I'm a Johnny Walker man.
Yes. Well, we know that.
I'm a man. I'm not a,
we
I'm
know,
not,
we know you're
not
a
guy, I'm a man.
I'm just
and
joking.
I win.
So we know that we talked about the defense. The defense needs to play better. Well, you can all agree on that one?
Oh, yeah.
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 Okay.
And I think
put that out there.
But yeah. Dave, tell me this. You probably can't say anything. Well, I'll say it.
Just ask me.
But do you think we have to stop being so damn predictable defensively?
I think they have to figure out some way to get to the quarterback. I don't know what that is. I believe in one-on-one battles, but I think you have to be unpredictable.
Yep.
If you are becoming too predictable. And certainly against this team, if Dak Prescott is sitting back in the pocket on Sunday, Eagles will not be able to cover down the field. They're just not going to be able – no team can.
Nobody can. No DB can cover a guy for 4 or 5 seconds. And then not only that, if the quarterback scrambles and we lose contain, now you got to chase the quarterback. But I don't even think we slant.
No, there's not much going on.
Not much going on at all. They just line up on the edge and hope for the best. That's not going to get it.
Is it talent more than scheme, or scheme more than talent?
I think it's more scheme because you see these guys thrive in other systems. You win sometimes like this. Like sometimes you do have to line up in a man whoop a man, but at times you have to use what you have. You have some talented guys over there that can blitz. Sometimes you have to send them in there and have them knock the crap out of somebody just to put them on notice.
Well, I think if they weren't confident enough to send the blitz guy against the rookie QB, they're going to be hesitant to do the same thing against Dak.
Yeah.
So we're going to take our second break.
And Greg will be here in just a moment.
Greg Ward will be right here hanging out with us. I can't wait to talk to him. We'll be back with more at Green Legion Radio live from Chicken and Pete's in South Philadelphia right after this. And we are back in South Philadelphia, Chicky and Pete's, and joining us now, number 84 from the Philadelphia Eagles, Greg Ward!
Woo!
We got lots of questions. Well, this is the Get to Know Greg segment, right? Isn't that what we're doing now, Diaz?
Let's Get to Know Greg, yeah.
Let's Get to Know Greg.
Of course, we know Greg is from Tyler, Texas, July 12th, 1995, his birthday. Winter John, what was that?
95. Damn.
See how old you're getting, Hollis?
Yeah.
Are you saying you're an old man?
Get used to it.
Yeah, I was preparing for my junior year and getting ready to come to the Eagles around that time.
Greg went to John Taylor High School. Greg, I got a question for you with all these crazy numbers, because you led Class A 4A with 4,200 passing yards, 39 touchdowns, only 5 interceptions as a senior, and 861 rushing yards with 13 touchdowns on 170 carries as a junior. Coming out of that at your senior, were you the best player in Texas at that time? Or close to it? I would say with those numbers you are.
I don't know.
Are you modest?
Yeah, I am.
I got to tell you, my father, Bill Valivas, I was with him tonight. He said, when you see Greg, you tell him he's my favorite player. And I was yelling during preseason why he didn't make the 52-man roster. So you have a big Greg Ward fan club right here in Philadelphia, Greg.
I appreciate it.
Greg, who else recruited you besides University of Houston?
I believe Memphis and Rice.
Memphis and Rice. All as quarterbacks?
No, I think someone wanted me as defensive back.
Is there a position on the field you cannot play? Because you can play quarterback, defensive back, wide receiver.
Now, I didn't know this until reading about it. I thought you were a wide receiver, you know, coming out of college. I didn't know that when you went to Houston. So when did that transition happen? Was it when you were in the combine or when you got drafted? They said you're going to play wide receiver. And so how did that work?
I played quarterback and receiver my rookie year. Then the second year, I moved to receiver for like maybe 4 or 5 games.
Okay.
Then after that, it was straight quarterback.
It was all quarterback against Temple University, crushing.
Yeah, for Houston, I know.
Yeah, down the field,
breaking hearts in Philly. Yeah.
At one point, you were pretty much in the Heisman talk, weren't you?
Yes, sir, I was.
Yeah. Greg, the one question I had, which my brother had a great question he wanted to ask you. So, what's the difference from going to the practice squad to the active roster? Is there a daily routine that's different? Like, what's the biggest difference? Obviously, you know, you're on the roster, you're playing, but is there a big difference doing that?
I would say less reps.
Okay.
You have a lot of more reps whenever you're on the practice squad.
Okay.
Sometimes you have to give those guys that's on the active breaks, and whenever you're going against the defense, man, you have to go every single snap. You don't get a break out there.
And the biggest difference, let's be honest, is the paycheck.
The paycheck, yeah, of course.
Well, I figured that.
What do practice squad guys get? Like $6,000 bucks a week? Something like that? Is that what it is?
Yeah, I would still take that.
Is it more than? Maybe actually more than that. No, it's good. It's a good living. But it's incredible how the Eagles have used every, like, available resource on the roster this year. There have been so many guys going down, so many opportunities for other players. And it's great to see players like Greg and many others. Singleton has been able to come up from the practice squad and stay for a long time.
Boston
Scott, of course,
mm-hmm.
Who came on the show and then became a star.
Yes.
The Green Legion bump.
There's such little teeny tiny differences. And Hollis was not drafted. Hollis was and had a 15-year career. I mean, there's everybody who ever steps foot in a training camp, they're great football players.
Oh, yeah.
They are the best of the best.
You're the top half percent of football players.
Well, the weird thing is, I think the guys who come in as free agents, I think we're a little bit more hungrier. So we try to be more polished. So we try to be, you try to hustle, not only hustle, but you know what you're doing and where you're supposed to do it and be where you are, where you're supposed to be at all times. You do not want to be a problem. You don't want to give them any reason to release you, because unlike first round picks and second round picks, you don't get the F ups.
No.
Exactly.
Chris Sack, you had a question for Greg?
Greg, it's a two-part question here. You scored your first career touchdown in the biggest spot, the biggest moment of that game.
Yes, sir.
And you did it against probably the biggest trash talker in the NFL, in Josh Norman. So, first of all, did you give him a little bit of the business after you did that? And where is the ball currently right now?
The ball is in my locker. And no, I didn't, because I wasn't even thinking about him. Yeah. I was just thankful
that
I caught the ball and he was a touchdown. We went ahead. I wasn't even worried about him.
Love it. Love
there
it.
There was a wild scene. I was on the field and I had my phone going and everybody just engulfed Greg.
Right.
And I saw the pictures and there was like all teammates. And but there was one guy in the picture who I don't know if he was like a stadium worker or he jumped out of the stands.
Did Hollis sneak down to the stands?
No.
I don't know who it was. It was like some guy on the sideline.
You know if it was Hollis.
Who had, didn't
you
have
know
a uniform
me.
On. Did you look at all the pictures, Greg?
I have not.
Yeah, you haven't. Yeah, there's one guy who's just like cheering, and I don't. He must just be an Eagles fan who works on the sidelines. I don't know who it was. It was crazy.
Yeah. Greg,
it was a crazy scene, though.
Were you the primary receiver on that play?
I wouldn't say. I think it was more of a... Who's open?
Okay, I was curious. I wanted to ask that question.
Exactly, and because of the coverage, they double Ertz. It was zone on. It was a man on JJ, and they had outside leverage on him. I was able to spring free, and it was a race to the problem.
What has life been like, Greg, since that touchdown? Has it been crazy? Has your phone been blowing up? Have people really tried to get a piece of you?
I had to put my phone down a couple times.
Do you kind of have to keep people away from you? I mean, there's a big game on Sunday. We gotta win this football game on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not gonna change my preparation. I'm not gonna just stop talking to people this whole week. I believe in staying the same, you know. Sticking to my routine. And if people are talking crazy on social media or whatever, I just don't pay attention to it. I just kind of...
Here we go. We get back to the social media.
Right? Yeah, social media.
You can't deal with the social media.
Well, if he's on the social media, Greg, there is a sizable portion of the fan base that has believed in you and watched you the last couple of years that have thought... You know, the thought that you should have, you should be on the roster from the beginning.
Yep.
But then, you know, to get that chance and to grab it, it was awesome to see.
I've been singing your praises for quite some time, and everybody, sometimes people balk at me, but I was like, I know what the hell I'm talking about. I know when I see somebody who wants to play, and that's what I want on the field, somebody who wants to play, who's doing everything right. And some people are like, well, he can't play there. I was like, well, the guys you got down there playing are not getting the job done. He's outplayed them. What I've always known in football is good, healthy competition. And if you're not making plays, your ass is going to be on the sideline next to the coach.
Hollis, you make it sound like there are players who don't want to play.
but if they want to play, they Marcus will make Smith. Plays. Marcus Smith.
Andrew Bynum.
And thank you. If they want to, this is my thing. You can
want
to play all you want to.
All right.
No, you can want to play all you want to.
So excited.
But
we got to put a governor on him.
You don't have to put no damn governor. But if you want to play, you make plays. You don't continually disappoint your team. You put it this way. If I see the ball going, if I know the ball going to a certain player and it's third down, I got my helmet on. Why? Because I know he's going to miss it.
I got it.
It's punt time.
This is what happens during Dallas week.
Yeah.
Right?
Mike Diaz.
Sorry about that.
No, big dogs off, man.
I'm all right.
This is, again, a two-part question, but you are a member of a very exclusive fraternity as being one of the only guys to beat both of the MVP this year in Lamar Jackson and the MVP from last year, Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's... I saw Mahomes gave you a shot.
Did a tweet.
Out.
That was awesome.
Gave you a tweet like that.
That's my guy.
What, like playing those guys when you did, and then I read your comments about Josh Norman. You're like, oh, I used to watch you, and now you're playing against them.
Yeah, that was crazy to me. That was, man.
What's it like? Like, what do you see from like those two guys? They seem to be almost like the same quarterback, which is the type of player so you were that same type of running guy,
right?
Like these guys that you could hit people all over the. What can you tell me about the Mahomes title game? Was it districts or states or what was it?
Yeah, it was for district.
For districts?
Yes, sir.
Right. And what was the, like, you had 7 TDs or something like that?
I don't know how many. All I know is that we came out with the win. I mean, Pat came out on fire. We was actually behind maybe 2 or 3 touchdowns at halftime.
Ooh.
And rallied together and came out with the win. But it was always a battle with me and him, man. Always. Whether it was football or basketball, we always battled.
Oh, you played against each other in basketball, too. Oh, yeah. I didn't know the basketball career.
He's an athlete, man. Yeah.
Now, Greg, I had a question. Friday night football in Texas. Is it what it's like, Friday Night Lights? Is it that big of a deal? Because I always hear about it, I read about it, but I've never seen it. It feels like it. Is it just like especially the whole town shuts down, forget it?
Yeah, especially in East Texas, man, it's very serious.
And the stadiums there, they're like college stadiums, a lot of them. They're huge.
Some of them.
They're like Buffalo.
In Dallas. Yeah.
There's still a lot of them are gorgeous stadiums. I mean, a lot of the high school stadiums around here, you might fit 2,000 people.
I thought it's a middle school with a football team in Siena. They have a stadium.
Yeah, man.
I was like, it's a football. I was like, is that a JUCO? Is at Siena Middle School. I was like, what the hell?
Yeah, it's serious.
It's big time. It's serious.
It's not a joke.
Yes, Chris Sack.
Your chemistry with Carson Wentz, it seems like it's happened real fast here over the last couple games. When did you start to experience that with him? Like, did you have anything in the offseason? Did you go down to Texas, like, during the offseason with him?
I'm always back and forth from Houston, Dallas, and Tyler because I have family down there. I have my nieces, my nephews, my brothers and sisters. So I actually went down there and had a chance to work out with him along with some of the other teammates. And, you know, we always just used to talk about spots on the field, timing, and everything else. So I believe that's very, like, very vital to you and your quarterback. And it's kind of working out right now.
I have one more quick question. Then we're going to take a break so everyone can come up, take pictures with Greg, autographs. Come see Hollis, take autographs with him. No one wants to take a picture with me. Take a picture with Dave. You know, at the playbook, what's the number of plays you have to memorize? Like, can you give me a spitball number? Is it 200? Is not like what is it? That's what I was always like. How thick is that? It's got to be ridiculous.
So you game plan. So you have certain plays.
Certain plays. Okay.
So it's maybe 50, 75 plays, maybe.
Okay.
I think it's more.
Maybe more.
Because sometimes want the coach to be like, "Do you remember this play is not in the game plan?"
You're right. Exactly. Yeah. You're right. It's way more. But in training camp, it's the whole playbook.
Now, did it, like in school, like for me, I was horrible at studying, right?
I
was a bad studier.
No.
Did the plays, did memorizing stuff come easy to you?
Or do
you
that?
I was trying to ask a question here, Diaz. Remember, professional podcast.
Yes. Don't mind
all
him.
Reps. All reps.
Okay.
I just wanted to ask that question because there's so many plays you got to memorize and the formations and everything.
I got one quick one. It's kind of a comment, but I kind of already know the answer, but studying the plays, and versus going through the plays, which one do you do better?
Going through the plays.
Yeah.
See. Okay.
Because
you can read it all and see what you do all the time.
Exactly.
But until you actually out there, you see it, it's pretty much it's horrible.
You understand it way better. And you understand the whole concept.
Yeah.
You walk through it. To me, some guys can look at a paper and learn like that, but not me.
I know where to go.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, because I always knew where to go, but unless I had a rep at it, I looked like crap doing it.
Yes, Dave.
I have a question. Is it true, Hollis, that offensive players are smarter than defensive players?
No, I'm probably the smartest defensive player you're going to know.
We're doing a quiz show.
I'm a man.
Point proven, Dave.
I'm a man, and I win. Right. I will dissect your offense. To the very last compound.
All right, before
I will
the other part, Greg, don't you think you pass the ball to win in the NFL? You don't.
Oh, here we go.
I'm just kidding.
I know.
Okay,
if you don't run the ball, those play action fakes mean absolutely nothing.
We don't want Dave. We don't want Hollis and Greg to get in and start arguing about offense and defense and who's smarter. But we're going to take a break. Come up, take a picture with Hollis and with Greg. Get your autograph. We'll be back with more of Green. We are back live at Chicken Pete's in South Philadelphia. Greg Ward hanging out with us a little bit longer because Greg had a long line of people wanting to talk to him, sign autographs. Is that a new thing? I think everyone loved you in the city in the preseason, but have you known the publicity of people wanting to talk to you even that much more, autographs, pictures, all that sort of thing?
It's way different right now.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I love it. I'm head of the Greg Ward fan club.
I appreciate
it. I'm a Greg Ward fan.
Yeah, but he played in Texas in high school.
I know. That's a big deal. Mm-hmm.
They're like gods.
You're right. We were just talking about that. And I forgot to say, Huxley was just playing before we came back from break.
Yes,
I like
sir.
The band. A little Papa Roach feel a little bit?
Absolutely. A little Breaking Benjamin.
Wow. So I have a good one. So I just looked up this list.
Okay.
The greatest practice squad players who start on the practice squad in the NFL ever.
Mm-hmm.
But listen to this list. It's a great list. James Harrison.
Mm-hmm.
Kurt Warner.
Yep.
Arian Foster.
Yep.
Rod Smith. Jason Peters started on the practice squad.
Wow.
Cameron Wake,
yep.
Danny Amendola, Danny Woodhead, Brandon Marshall. It's so there's such
That's
a
great.
Little teeny bit, man. When people say, "Oh, well, practice," man, that is it's like such a valuable developmental tool for a team. And teams that use all of their roster, 53 plus 10 on the practice squad, are the ones that win in the NFL. So I'm just saying, congratulations, Greg.
Yeah, just keep it. Just
now,
keep it going.
In the time I've been with Greg, you're a very humble person. I've noticed that. But the one thing I read that I pulled up that really jumped out at me, from 2015 to 2016, there's only two NCAA quarterbacks with over 6,000 passing yards and 1,500 rushing yards. Greg Ward and Deshaun Watson. That's ridiculous company. That's insane. When I looked at it, I kind of just jumped out at me. I mean, that's just absolutely off the charts. Now, I do have, I don't know if you can tell me this or not, but we know it's Cowboys week. We're going to get into the game because we all hate the Cowboys, and we need to beat the Cowboys.
Dallas sucks.
Dallas does suck.
Dallas sucks.
Are you aware of that, Greg? How much the hatred runs deep in this city for the Cowboys? Like,
been here first year, a couple years.
I get that, but this is your first full blown Dallas week. It's just got to be like, especially coming from Texas. It's like, all right, man, here we go.
Right. I played in games just like this, but I haven't played in a Philly and Dallas game. I know it's going to be crazy. The fans are crazy. My rookie year, man. That's when I found out, man. It was wild.
Now I'm going to go out on a limb here, and I know you can't say this, but I would think in the Cowboys game there should be a trick play involved somewhere. So I would, you know,
everybody wants Greg Ward to throw a touchdown.
Yes, everybody wants to.
But everyone that comes on the Green Legion show, just like Quimby says, they get the Green Legion rep. Something positive happens.
Green Legion,
I mean,
bump.
You were already killing it last week. I know. I'm just saying. I got a feeling. You can't tell me what's in the game plan. I just got an itch that there's got to be a play with Greg Ward.
Are you willing to give up if Greg Ward throws a touchdown pass? Are you willing to give up Quimby's Maserati for 2 weeks?
Absolutely.
I'll give up Quimby's Maserati.
Guys, I'm sorry. I reached out to him. I got a no with a lot of exclamation points. It doesn't mean we don't have to, though.
No, you didn't hear the consolation. You don't get his car. You get his condo for 2 weeks. And the address is... I won't give it. But that's what I'm hoping. I think good things are ahead for you, and I think I think something positive, even more positive, is going to happen on Sunday. Not just because you're on the show. I just good vibes, right, DS?
Good vibes.
What the hell was that? What the hell was that, man?
You're so cool, DS.
I guess so. We won two in a row. We got a game against Dallas. We're going to win against Dallas.
Can you guys tell me this?
We're going to have a tailgate in January. That's all I want to tell.
So Greg doesn't know who you guys are. These are the guys they organize. Green Legion organizes all the fan trips. Yeah. So on the road trips, tons of fans. So explain to us, guys, what happens? Like, what time will you get to the game and start tailgating? And like, what's
on
the
Sunday?
Scene? Yeah, like, what's the scene going to be like for a 425
game?
Get
our social media guy in on that.
Yeah, I mean... So our party starts at 11 a.m.
Yes, it does.
At Xfinity Live. But people will show up they'll start lining up at 6 a.m. They got everything set up on Saturday.
So people party from like 7, 8 o'clock in the morning until 4 o'clock and then come to the stadium?
That's why this
totally game, trashed.
Yeah, at 1 o'clock, a 1 o'clock Dallas game, 1 o'clock Sunday Dallas game, or a Monday night game, Thursday night game, that's no good. The 4:30 game. Is the money time because you have enough time to get some sleep in from the night before. You get up, you just, throw on your hat like Hollis does right here.
Your Zumas?
Yep.
And your Zubaz pants, and you head straight down to the stadium. It's going to be a party all day. And
well,
the stadium is going to be loud.
And how many people don't make it into the stadium because they're too drunk? Do you think a lot of people,
If you're planning on going into this game, no matter what you've been imbibing on, your adrenaline will rush you right through the game. Maybe halftime they start.
Yeah, that's what I'm about to say. Like most of the time I've seen people, they kind of pace themselves. I was new to this tailgate thing, and I've seen people who actually have tickets, especially to the Dallas game, they kind of pace themselves. But when they get in the game, it kind of goes buck wild. They go buck wild. Because I've been in there signing autographs before, and things went awry quick. I had to get security.
Greg, question for you, and we're getting into the Eagles-Cowboys. What's something you like to do when you're not playing football?
Because I train all the time, I just like to chill with my family, honestly.
Just hang out?
Yeah, definitely.
And the other thing is, I saw your favorite food's fried chicken. I love fried chicken. Yeah. I can't find a good fried – it's hard to find good fried chicken around here. Yeah, my favorite place, I would say, is Roy Rogers. Everyone knows that listens to me. But it's hard to find good fried chicken. But when you find it, it's fantastic. I love it.
Royal Farm. Isn't Popeye's fried chicken?
Royal it is, Farm. But they like Popeye's. Yeah. I'm not a fan of Popeye's.
Okay. Nobody cares what you're a fan of.
But why don't
Popeye's good. Popeye's is delicious.
We know I'm the restaurant connoisseur.
Really,
here on the program. I wouldn't trust you guys taking me to a restaurant. No, I wouldn't.
Okay.
Back in the day, KFC used to be good fried
chicken. KFC is good, but if you go there on a Friday, they never have extra crispy.
Okay, Blind Taste Test. Dave Spadaro, you looking for good fried chicken? You gonna believe me or Rob?
I'm gonna believe you. Exactly. Anything with food, I'm gonna believe you.
Thank you.
Pretty much anything.
Hang out with me more.
Anything you say, I'm gonna believe Hollis over Rob. I mean, basically, it covers the entire
when it comes
spectrum.
To food, stop it.
Yeah, the entire spectrum.
If you ask Hollis to rank off the top 10 restaurants in the city, you probably wouldn't even get 5 of them right.
It's only in your opinion. Your opinion matters.
Look at Hollis.
Bon Appetit Magazine, Hollis. Bon Appetit Magazine.
Bon Appetit Crap.
Oh, wow.
Okay, we're getting sidetracked. Good Lord. Eagles, Cowboys.
We have 14 minutes. Let's talk about the Eagles, Cowboys.
Yes, let's talk about the Eagles, Cowboys.
What the line, Diaz? Is it 2.5?
I don't know what the line is.
Two and a half.
Just got to win.
Dallas is favorite.
Oh, started out as a pick 'em.
Yeah.
But the money moved overnight
after
from
the
Sunday.
Rams,
after what they did to the Rams, that's where the money moved.
Now, Greg.
What does that mean to you as I don't gamble, so what does that mean?
It means the money is going Dallas way.
So that means that. But if the money's going Dallas way,
right.
Don't the houses, the bookies want to win?
Right. That's why
they want the money to lose. So if the money's going to Dallas, does that mean the Eagles should win?
If we go into this game, I used to do a lot of sports gambling before.
Then
you
got married.
Illegal. Yeah, and then I got married.
Then you got married.
And had kids. That all went out the window. But if this is a 2-point Dallas line, it is an absolute Eagles line going into this game. Because when you are a home underdog and you're a plus two, which the Eagles would be, that right there guarantees that the home team is going to win that game. I noticed that in basketball. I noticed that in football.
And Dave's got a look on his face like, what are you talking about?
Because here's what's happening. Here's what's happening right now. Okay. The Eagles have struggled for the better parts of the last 2 weeks against two teams that are 3-11.
Right.
Everybody looked at what Dallas just did. Everybody forgets the first 3 weeks prior to what they did to the Rams. So everybody's sitting there going, wow, they blew out the Rams who were coming off of back-to-back wins and looking good. They blew them out. So everybody's looking at it right now, and it's America's team. The money is moving on the Cowboys big time, which they might be overly confident now.
Well, now I have a question for Greg. Greg, do you guys think your underdog is going into that game? Does that motivate you, or you're not even thinking about it? You're worrying about doing your job and doing the right things to go win the football game?
Doing our job.
Yeah, exactly.
Nothing else be winning.
Let me help Greg out. Greg is worried about doing his job,
yep,
and getting out there and handling the business. He cannot answer any of these secret questions you chumps
I still have to ask him. I still have to ask the question.
Greg,
no, you don't. You don't.
I do.
You have to waste time. We can talk about. What, do you like to play video games, Greg?
No.
The first Green Legion Radio Live guest from the Eagles
that
does not play video games. That's awesome.
You're the first one.
Greg, I was telling
you. He's the first 24-year-old kid in the world who doesn't play.
That's what I was about to say.
During our last break, I was talking about how extremely humble you are, but extremely focused you look. Like, you just look like, you know, you're like a cerebral assassin going into this week. And I love it, because Carson needs you with the targets out there.
We need you, Greg. We need you.
Big time.
Let's talk about the game.
Yeah.
Hollis, what do you think the keys are for the Eagles on defense?
The keys on defense is obviously stop Zeke. We haven't been able to stop him since they had him. I think we need to get pressure on Dak also, because as we talked about before, we have to do something. We can't just let Dak stand back there like it's a pass, Kelly, and tear us apart. And then also we're pretty good against run for the most part.
But third in the league.
Third, yeah. So it's like we have to get to Dak. I think that's going to be the main thing. And we can't let Amari Cooper catch the same damn route over and over and over again.
I think that
the same out route.
When I think back to the game in October, the Eagles fumbled the opening kickoff.
Yeah.
Fumbled the next possession. Dallas took it in for scores, 14-0 lead.
Right.
In the Eagles' 7 victories, they've turned the ball over, I believe, only 4 or 5 times. This is a remarkable statistic. This is a statistic that tells you everything. Eagles need to get turnovers on defense.
Right.
Eagles need to secure the football on offense. Red zone, Eagles are 6th in the league in scoring touchdowns in the red zone. They have been excellent in the red zone.
Yep.
That's got to continue. I think running the football offensively, extremely important. I really do believe that, Hollis.
Yeah.
I think one way to keep Dallas's offense off the field is to short passing game, get Carson out of the pocket,
yeah,
run the football. I think the Eagles can do that. Get a lead in this game. Get those crowd, that crowd that's been partying since 8 o'clock in the morning, get them into this game.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see how the fans react to this. This is a big game. It's a very, 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 very hard ticket to get.
Yep.
And I think it's going to be fun to see how the fans help the Eagles win this game.
Yes, yes. Sir.
Yeah, well, I mean, when the schedule came out in April, this game was scheduled.
Right.
Or circled on everyone's calendar that this was going to be the division.
Right.
This was going to be the game. All the other games are important, and every game is important. This was going to be the game. Fans are going to be out. We're going to be crazy.
I got one more thing. Our special teams need to step up this week also. They're kind of poaching around a little bit. They need to step up.
That's a new
word. They can create a turnover also.
Yeah.
And it's mainly defensively. Defensively, we try to get the turnovers, but special teams, we have some special teams demons that need to really step up and not give up that proverbial long-ass kickoff return.
Yes, Dave.
In the spirit of Eagles Cowboys, we call us, I know you experienced a lot of Eagles games against the Dallas Cowboys. Was it special for you? And do you have any memories of games that really stick out to you?
Well, it's a few that stick out to me big time. My very first one was Monday Night Football, and Ray Bob pulled me to the side and said, "We're gonna get our ass kicked." And I was like, "Well, why you say that?" He was like, "Anytime you go away from things that you normally do and pull out all the bells and whistles." At that point, I didn't know what he's talking about. But guess who announced the game? Michael Buffer. Let's get ready to rumble. They kicked our ass all over the field. But then that
was that the end of Freddie Solomon?
That was no. That was a little bit later on. Now see this. The next game was the game that we went down to Dallas. We had the long interception.
James Willis, Troy Vincent.
Yeah, I remember that one mainly because when we landed back in Philadelphia, it was a couple of thousand people out waiting on our plane to land, like we had just won a Super Bowl. And I was like, so that's what type of rivalry this is.
Yeah.
And the worst one that sticks out of my craw is damn Chris Bonio. You know, Freddie Sullivan and Chris Bonio.
My brother's next to me was in college.